Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Penalty Shot by Maren Moore. Narrated by Alex Kidd and Daniela Agitelli. Chapter 1. Asher.
Harder. Right there. Yes. Oh, Daddy. I'm your little slut.
Generally speaking, most guys would love to start their day with a girl writhing on their cock, moaning in the throes of passion. In my case, not so much, seeing as how this god-awful noise is penetrating my bedroom wall when all I want to do is fucking sleep. Shit, I might even be a little into it if the girl didn't sound like she was a dying cat or recording a low-budget porno. There's a 100% chance that she's faking it, and I bet my own dick on it. There is absolutely no way a girl having an actual soul-shattering orgasm could possibly sound like that. Groaning, I sit up and beat my fist on the wall once, twice, and then a third time for good measure. Fuckers. For the first time in months, I'm not up at 5 a.m. before the sun rises and onto a grueling practice, so forgive me for being annoyed that my neighbors like to fuck like bunnies as soon as daylight hits. I flop back on the bed, pulling the plush feather-down pillow over my head in an attempt to fall back asleep, which doesn't seem to be working. Although the noise has died down and my amateur porn star neighbors across the wall have quieted, I can't seem to get comfortable, and apparently, I'm up for the day. Fucking wonderful. Getting up from the bed, I snag a pair of sweats, pull them over my hips, and head for the kitchen. While walking down the hallway, I notice that there are double the boxes that were there last night, meaning Hudson's had a busy night. Part of me still can't wrap my head around him moving out. I mean, yeah, I get it, but it still sucks. Everyone's moving out. Getting married, having kids. Shit's changing. More and more every day. I mean, Hudson's just moving out, not getting married, but still, everyone's going their separate ways. "You're up early," Hudson says, gripping a protein shake in one hand and a wet towel hanging around his neck. He looks like he dunked himself in the pool, but I know that just means he's been in the gym. For someone as carefree and laid back as Hudson is, he sure as fuck has a thing for routine. One he never deviates from if he can help it. Even during the off-season, he's working out. I shrug, offering a surly grunt, dragging a hand down my face as I try to fully wake up. Neighbor girl and her man were at it bright and early again this morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep after I hit the wall. Hudson laughs, shaking his wet hair out of his face. I almost feel guilty leaving you behind to deal with that, but seeing as how I know you want to be the one making her sound like a dying cat, it lessens the guilt a little. Fuck off. All I want is some peace and quiet, not to listen to that shit every morning. She's not that hot. Not enough to sacrifice sleep. I put my favorite Marvel mug under the coffee maker, one of the few things left remaining on the counter, and press start. I'm desperate for the strongest fucking coffee I can brew after staying up so late last night working on a sketch. My eyes are dry and feel like sandpaper from lack of sleep, and this morning has put me in a foul mood. Whatever you say. But don't forget, I see how you eye her door on the way to the gym each morning. Like I'm sick of their early morning fuckfest and I want some damn sleep? Correct. I grumble. It's too early in the morning for his mouth. Walking over, he slaps me on the back with his still sweaty palm and smirks smugly. If that makes you feel better. Anyway, I'll leave you to your denial. Got a full day planned. I've got to meet with the realtor at 9 and schedule the moving company. Then, I've got a date this afternoon. My eyebrows rise. And by date, you mean... Hudson, on an actual date, would be the equivalent of hell freezing over. My best friend works his way through a roster of puck bunnies like athlete's foot. As gross as that analogy sounds, it's the truth. Met this girl at Matchbox last week. She dared me to take her out. He wipes the sweat from his forehead with the edge of the towel from around his neck, then downs the rest of the protein shake in a single gulp and tosses the empty blender bottle in the sink.
And I'm not one to disappoint the ladies, so I'm taking her to some restaurant my sister recommended.
He smirks, shrugging nonchalantly.
I'm surprised. You know, you going on an actual date? And somewhere that your sister recommended at that. Is this personal growth, Hudson?
I clap him on the back as I talk shit.
I'm proud of you. I wouldn't go that far. I'm perfectly happy in my bachelor ways. I gotta shower and head out. See you later.
I nod, tossing him a wave as I grab the steaming mug of coffee off the maker. It's barely 7 a.m., and I'm already ready to crawl back in bed. Hopefully the coffee will rectify that. Walking back to my bedroom, I grab my sketchpad, still open to the drawing I was working on last night, and open the door to my balcony, a spot I now rarely use. It's one of my favorite things about this apartment. My bedroom's balcony that overlooks the Chicago River is what sold me on this place in the beginning, back when Hudson, Graham, and I were all looking for somewhere in the city.
Well, it used to be my favorite place, until I realized how thin the walls were.
We wanted something close to the arena, since we spend most mornings during the season either practicing or playing. During the off-season, most of the time, everyone kind of spreads out and goes their own ways, catching up with family and traveling. But this place, it's my sanctuary. The one place in the world where I can feel like myself. More than just the version that the world sees, the one that the fans know and the cameras capture. Me. I don't have to hide and pretend to be something I'm not. I sit on this very balcony, gazing out at the city and the river below, and I'm content. I'm at peace. Reading, working on whatever sketch I've been obsessing over, writing when I can. I sneak away to the rooftop where it's quiet and comfortable, and I revel in the peacefulness of it. Hudson always says that I'm an anomaly because, while hockey is very much the number one thing in my life, I also love reading and art, music and manga. I'm an old soul. I prefer conversation over partying, Mozart over heavy metal, history over beer pong, and sometimes I can tell everything I need to know about a person before they say a single word. Their attitude, their demeanor, their energy, the way they respond to certain situations. Sometimes people assume because I don't have a lot to say that what I have to say isn't much of anything. I guess people expect hockey players based on their appearance and aggression on the ice to be the same way off of it. They see us for what's on the surface, not anything deeper. Just because I'm aggressive on the ice doesn't mean I'm not introspective and sensitive. My personality isn't one-dimensional. I don't quite fit the athlete persona. I prop my feet up on the chair across from me, inhaling a deep breath of fresh air as the sun begins to peek over the clouds. It casts a warm glow upon the surface of the river that ripples with boats as they sail along. The drawing sitting in my lap is the source of my tossing and turning lately, one that's plagued my dreams, even after fruitless attempts to push it from my mind. Her. As if she should be here, taking up space in my head, like she's the rightful owner. Long, strawberry blonde hair and delectable rosy cheeks. She's a true vision, and one that I can't help but put down on paper when she infiltrates my thoughts the way she does. Picking up the charcoal, I sketch the delicate slope of her nose and the slightly upturned corner of her eyes. Her lips are bright like cherries, most of the time covered in a clear sheen of lip gloss that makes them shine. Should I be drawing my infuriating neighbor who I can't seem to get off my mind? The answer is no. But it's also impossible not to, when she's a work of art herself. Just as I start working on the curve of her chest, the headboard starts to hit the wall again in a rhythmic thump, and seconds later, the absurd moaning starts, so damn loud I can hear it out on the balcony.
God, daddy, more, please.
She whines, causing me to accidentally snap the piece of charcoal in my fist. I guess now would be the time to mention that the girl haunting my dreams is also the one who's unfortunately becoming my morning wake-up call. Hudson's right.
I do have a thing for my mysterious neighbor, and it drives me fucking insane. And for some reason, when I see her, I can't correlate the two. She doesn't seem like the kind of girl who would sound so dirty. It's hard to connect the shy, quiet girl I see in the gym in the elevator to the daddy screamer. Sighing, I toss my sketchbook onto the table and take a sip of my coffee, trying to ignore the ridiculous high-pitched screeches coming from the other side of the wall. Easier said than done. After spending the majority of the day catching up on laundry, talking to my parents, and catching up with Reed and Briggs, I make my way up to my rooftop oasis once the sun is set, with my sketchbook and earphones in hand. Hudson is still on his date, and I've been itching to finish the drawing from last night. I love it up here. The peace, the utter stillness that separates you from the city, the view that you can't find anywhere else but here. It's the best view of the river, and when the sun sets, the entire sky is painted in hues of orange, red, and blue. Nothing comes close, plus it offers refuge from the sounds coming from my neighbor's apartment. The first thing I notice when I step out of the heavy door leading to the rooftop is that I'm not alone. There's only one other person who comes up here, and the only person I would want to share this space with. I walk over to the outdoor sectional and plop down directly across from him, a smirk tugging at my lips. He's so lost in thought he doesn't even hear me approach and sit down. I clear my throat and he finally looks up, his light blue eyes widening with surprise. A lopsided grin slips onto his face as he says, "Asher!" I offer my fist to him and he bumps it, and we do the special handshake we've been working on. "Ho-ho, nailed it," I tell him when he grins excitedly. With my practice and travel schedule, it's been a while since we've seen each other. Honestly, if you would have told me at this point in my life that I'd enjoy spending time with an 8-year-old kid over most adults, I probably wouldn't have believed you, but I prefer his company over almost anyone else. Alex lives in the building. I was sitting on the roof one evening, sketching, and he stumbled through the door with an old spiral notebook that had seen much better days pressed tightly to his chest. My first thought was, what in the hell was a kid doing up here at this time of night? After a few minutes, I introduced myself, and before I knew it, we were in an hour-long conversation about our favorite artists and periods of art. His mom apparently works a lot, and she gave him permission to sit up here and draw while she made dinner. He said she gave him the third degree when she first found out, but finally agreed since there are cameras up here, and as long as he promised to always bring his phone up with him so she could reach him. The apartment building, even though it cost a damn arm and a leg to live here, didn't invest in the rooftop space, which worked out for Alex and me. It gave us a place of solace. Him finding a creative space where he felt comfortable, and me for the very same reason. At first, we never planned to meet up. I would come up here and find him sitting there, his nose buried in his notebook or a paperback, and together we'd work in silence. Slowly, he came out of his shell, and we got to know each other. We've bonded over our favorite comics and manga, our love for Star Wars, and the fact that Stranger Things is the best show on TV. Our favorite artists, his favorite subjects in school. Once I showed him my first print edition of Berserk, a manga that we both love, it immediately bonded us. Over time, he's become my little buddy. I bought a couch setup and put it up here because I was tired of my ass going numb from sitting on the ground.
"Did they come in?"
he asks. I can see the excitement shining in his eyes. He can hardly sit still on the couch, his knees knocking with eagerness.
"They did. But what was the deal?"
I lean back and put my hands behind my head, knowing the answer that awaits me already. He flops back against the black and white striped cushion, groaning.
I know. We get our test grades back tomorrow. Will you meet me here? I'll bring my grades and you can bring them."
"You got it." Last week, I found him up here sniffling into a piece of paper, and it turns out he was struggling with his math grade, to the point of him being worried he was going to be kicked out of the Arts and Science Academy that his mother pays a lot of money for him to attend. It's one of the most prestigious schools in the area. I don't blame him for being worried about losing his place. It just so happens that in high school, on top of being a hockey player, I was also a mathlete, so I promised him that if he did well on his next assignment, I would buy him a new set of colored pencils that he had been saving for almost a year. Not the cheap kind. The professional-grade, light-fast, colored pencils. The expensive kind artists use. The kind that most kids don't have access to. I would have fucking bought them anyway, but I didn't want to see him suffer in school. I care about the kid, and truthfully, he reminds me a lot of myself when I was his age.
What are you working on now?
He nods toward my sketchpad that I purposefully sat face down so no one could see its contents. I don't need anyone knowing that I've been drawing Neighbor Girl, and I don't want to have to explain to the 8-year-old kid in my building why I'm drawing a woman. I shrug. A few things. What about you? Any new pieces? He shakes his head, glancing down at the sketchbook next to him.
Still working on the dragon. I was talking to my teacher this week, and she told me that she thinks I should submit this to our art fair. I don't know, Ash. I feel like I'll get made fun of even more.
His words cause my spine to stiffen. I fucking hate that he's getting picked on at school, but I'm not entirely sure what to do about the situation. He confided in me, swore me to secrecy, but fuck, I'm worried about him. Did you do what I told you to?
Yeah, but they still flushed one of my drawings down the toilet.
He shuffles uncomfortably on the couch, swallowing.
I'm not strong enough to take on all those guys, Ash.
Leaning forward, I hold his gaze, my jaw ready to crack from the pressure of gritting my teeth together. You hold strong, kid, and don't let them have that power over you. Tell a teacher, tell your mom, hell, punch him right in the dick if that's what it takes. Alex giggles.
Pretty sure I'll get suspended if I punch someone.
I shrug. Better than him tormenting you every day? Have you tried mentioning it to your mom?
No, I don't want to. You know, stress her out any more than she already is. She has a lot of stress right now.
Fuck, this kid is only 8 years old and he's being bullied in school, and all he can think about is the stress his mom is under. Not the fact that he's getting his ass handed to him almost daily from these asshole little kids. Talk to her, Alex. She needs to know what's going on. For a moment, he's silent. He gazes out past me to the buildings and skyline beyond. Then, after a few moments, he nods. I don't press. I just pull my sketchpad out and get to work because this is what we do. We work in silence together, offering the other company to be a little less lonely. And at the end of the day, I want to be someone he can confide in. I want to be a peer, so he's not alone, and so I can make sure that he's okay. I'm really starting to worry about the bullying, though, and if he doesn't tell his mom soon, then I'm worried I am going to have to go to her. As I finish the outline of my drawing, I begin setting the framework for her body. For the rest of the night, the only thing that infiltrates my mind is Neighbor Girl. Chapter 2. Asher.
Shit. Oh, shit. Shit. Shit.
Comes the voice from behind the oversized brown grocery bag. The bag is almost as big as she is, obscuring her face, leaving only her cut-off jean shorts visible from the waist down. She's trying to juggle the bag, keep the elevator door from closing, and see where she's going all at once. Here, let me help, I say, stepping in front of the door to keep it open. I reach forward and carefully lift the bag from her hands. Only then does her face come into view. Neighbor Girl. Her cheeks are flushed red against her pale skin that's lightly speckled with freckles. They're scattered along the delicate bridge of her nose and along her cheeks. She's not wearing makeup, and her hair is in a long braid, with only the smallest amount of that fucking lip gloss that haunts my dreams dabbed on her cherry red, ripe lips. So innocent. Or so you'd think when looking at her.
Oh, thank you. You don't have to do that. I can just set it here on the ground.
She averts her gaze, laughing nervously, and it hits me directly in the gut. The sweet, melodic sound filling my ears like the best symphony I've ever heard. And then I realize, this is the first time we've ever actually spoken, and suddenly I feel like I've swallowed my damn tongue.
Not a big deal.
We haven't met yet. I'm Asher, I say, holding out my free hand for her to grasp.
Her soft, tiny palm slides into mine, and I grip it gently and shake.
Nice to meet you.
Hi. I'm Auden. Nice to meet you, too.
Her cheeks are rosy red as she nervously plays with the ends of her hair after letting go of my hand. Auden. The name rolls around on my tongue, tasting far sweeter than I had anticipated. At the same time, we reach for the button on the elevator, choosing the same number, seeing as how we're neighbors.
I've seen her exiting her apartment a few times as I was coming home from the gym or practice, but I'm not sure she's ever really seen me.
Our hands bump as we both reach for the same floor, and she pulls her hand back quickly, rubbing the spot where our skin touched as if she was singed.
Oh, you're going to 12 too?
I nod, a small smile threatening to turn my lips up.
I'm in 12J.
Realization hits her, and her pale blue eyes widen in surprise.
Oh, wow, I'm 12K. We're neighbors.
Another nervous giggle. She looks down at her hands and fidgets, still mostly avoiding my eyes. I can't help how my eyes drag down her body, drinking in the simple pair of jean shorts and t-shirt she's paired it with. Plain black sandals on her feet. Nothing about her screams over the top, and if anything, her makeup-free face, the braid, and nervousness make her that much more beautiful. Effortlessly. She wouldn't even have to try, and she'd still be the most beautiful woman in any room.
Yeah, we're neighbors. Do you always try to carry bags bigger than you?
Her cheeks pink again, and she shakes her head.
Do you usually save damsels in distress from giant grocery bags?
I smirk, raising my brows.
Touché.
We ride in silence the last couple of floors until the elevator dings and the doors slide open.
Thank you again, Asher, for carrying my groceries like a gentleman. It was nice to meet you,
she says over her shoulder as we walk to our side-by-side doors.
It's nothing. Anytime you need help, let me know. I know you probably have it covered, but the offer's still there.
Her brow furrows slightly, like she's confused by my comment. But she just plasters on a sweet smile and uses the key in her hand to unlock her apartment. Carefully, I place the groceries back into her arms, and she turns to disappear through the doorway.
Hey, Auden, I call.
She peeks around the grocery bag.
Yes?
If you don't mind, I'd really like to sleep in tomorrow. You know, past 7.
For a moment, she doesn't say anything, looking at me curiously. But then, she gives me a shy shrug and mutters,
Okay. Yeah, sure. Thanks again, Asher.
Then, promptly shuts the door. I reach into my pocket and pull out my keys, unlocking the door and then walking inside. Once I kick off my shoes, I toss the keys into the basket on the foyer table. Hudson's head pops around the doorway of the kitchen to peer down the hallway at me.
All right, the weirdest shit just happened. I tell him as I walk into the kitchen and head straight for the fridge.
I grab a Gatorade, twist off the top and down the entire bottle in less than 30 seconds. The entire conversation made me fucking parched, in more ways than one.
Okay.
I turn to face him.
I just talked to neighbor girl for the first time. Her name's Auden.
So, you know her name. And that was weird how?
He runs his hand through his tousled black hair. The guy doesn't know what a hairbrush is, I fucking swear.
Well, I made a comment about the noise in the morning, and she looked at me like she didn't have a clue what I was talking about, completely oblivious. I think I weirded her out.
Hudson pauses his sandwich making. He levels me with a look.
Dude, what if she's embarrassed that her neighbors are listening to her fuck? Did you ever think of that? Or maybe she doesn't realize she's got such great pipes. Females are weird about that shit. Oh, fuck, he's right. Shit, I probably look like an asshole, but hell, I also want to sleep past 7 a.m. every morning. How do I politely say, please muffle the sounds of your moaning so I can sleep? I think you should probably invest in some earplugs.
He slaps the bread onto his sandwich and takes a bite, chewing obnoxiously.
Plus, it's not like we've been the quietest neighbors. We used to have people over all the time. And maybe this is her way of payback. Who knows?
Nah, she didn't seem like that type. I don't know. Maybe I'll get the earplugs. Maybe I'll just move into your room once you're gone. We'll see. Anyway, I'm going to change. Dinner later? He shakes his head. Can't. I have another date with Ellie. Wow, two in a row. Has the mighty finally fallen? Is that what's happening right now? No, the fuck it is not, he says, as if it offends him, the thought of him settling down like the rest of our friends and starting a family. You're sounding like Graham right now. The dramatics I expect from him, but you? Fine, but I'm calling it now. Hudson rolls his eyes. And I'm calling it now. You and neighbor girl. The next few days pass uneventfully. No early morning wake-up calls, and no glimpse of neighbor girl. Not that I was looking or anything. That is, until I walk out the entrance of our building a few mornings later and see her crouched down next to her car, peering underneath it. I would say we have to stop meeting this way, but... I smirk, my arms crossed over my chest as I lean against the fender of my truck and watch neighbor girl squatting, to inspect her tire that is, without a doubt, very flat. Odd invisibly jumps, letting out a yelp and immediately straightening. It's fucking cute. Only then do I notice the lug wrench she's clutching in her small fist. I hold up my hands in surrender. Whoa, just a joke, killer. She looks at me, then down at the lug wrench, then back to me with wide eyes, shaking her head and stumbling over her words.
No, my tire. I was just... it's flat, and I was just trying to see if there was a nail, or... I'm not sure.
Just joking, neighbor girl. I wink. Walking toward her, I gently take the lug wrench from her grasp. Don't want you to hurt yourself, or anyone else with this. I hold up the lug wrench for emphasis. The thing looked like it was about to cause her to topple right over from the weight. Her cute, pouty mouth opens like she has a smart-ass retort to my teasing, but closes right after. She closes her arms over her chest, and I take in her outfit. A black pleated skirt that shows off her pale, milky thighs with a tucked-in vintage band t-shirt and belt. Today she has her hair curled and loose around her face, and she's wearing the smallest amount of makeup. Of course, the same tinted red lip gloss that I'm dying to know the taste of. In my head, I've made up flavors. Cherry, ripe and pink, just like her. Maybe strawberry, sweet, and a little tart when you bite into it.
You know my name is Auden, and I had this under control, she says evenly.
My eyebrows rise. Did you, though? Looks like you were going to hurt yourself with that lug wrench, but... maybe I'm wrong. She scoffs.
I've changed plenty of tires in my life, I'll have you know.
I bet my entire pro hockey salary that she'd never even put air in her tires before. But I want to see how far she'll take this. My stomach flips when she stands a little straighter and raises her eyebrows in defiance. Mm-hmm. Judging by the way you were clutching that lug wrench, more as a weapon than a way to change your tire, I'm gonna have to call you on that one, killer. Tell me, what's the first thing you need to do to get this off? I tap the tire with my foot and grin, waiting for her to tell me exactly how she planned to change it. I'm calling her bluff, and I want to see how she'll fold.
Well, obviously, you're going to take those little things off with it.
Which things? The nuts? I smirk as she blushes. Fuck, I love bantering with her. I love seeing her cheeks heat beneath my gaze, and I want to see if the rest of her pale skin heats the same. Then, I want to draw her, highlighting each and every spot that her flush reaches.
Of course, the nuts. Are you sure it isn't you that doesn't know how to change a tire?
I shrug. Maybe, maybe not. Wanna give it a try first? She chews her lip nervously before dropping her head into her hands.
Okay, fine. I don't know how to change a tire.
She glances down at the watch.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?